The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, Chapter Number 4, Text Number 2, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on July 6th, 2009, in Wellington, New Zealand.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, Chapter Number 4, The Appearance of Sri Narada, Text Number 2. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Shanaka uvacha Sutta Sutta Mahabhaga
Sutta Sutta Mahabhaga
Vadana Vadatangvara Katam Katam Bhagavatim Punyam Yadaha Bhagavanchuka Shanaka uvacha Sutta Sutta Mahabhaga
Sutta Sutta Mahabhaga
Varano Vadatangvara
Vada
Katam Bhagavatim Punyam Yadaha Bhagavanchuka. Translation and purport by the Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Shanaka said, O Sutta Goswami, you are the most fortunate and respected of all those who can speak and recite. Please relate the pious message of Srimad Bhagavatam, which was spoken by the great and powerful sage Shukadev Goswami. Purport. Sutta Goswami is twice addressed herein by Shanaka Goswami out of great joy, because he and the members of the assembly were eager to hear the text of the Bhagavatam uttered by Shukadev Goswami. They were not interested in hearing it from a bogus person who would interpret it in his own way to suit his own purpose. Generally, the so-called Bhagavatam reciters are either professional readers or so-called learned impersonalists who cannot enter into the transcendental personal activities of the Supreme Person. Such impersonalists twist some meanings out of the Bhagavatam to suit and support impersonalist views, and the professional readers at once go to the 10th canto to mis-explain the most confidential part of the Lord's pastimes. Neither of these reciters are bona fide persons to recite Bhagavatam. Only one who is prepared to present Bhagavatam in the light of Shukadev Goswami, and only those who are prepared to hear Shukadev Goswami and his representative, are bona fide participants in the transcendental discussion of Srimad Bhagavatam. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jata Parakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Zavadutam Prijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha. So these sages, they're very particular. They weren't there when Sukadev gave Parikshit Maharaj the Bhagavatam. And they knew they had really missed out on something very wonderful. So now they are requesting Sutta, that you were there. You experienced it. Now you convey it to us. We want to also get what you got. So you kindly, it's interesting. Sutta, sutta. Twice he's saying sutta. That's out of ecstasy. They're so happy and enlivened that someone who was there when Shukadev was speaking, he is now present. Of course, in those days, they were not forgetful rascals like us. Shruti Dhar, just by one time hearing. Can you imagine hearing 18,000 verses and being able to probably recite each one perfectly with every syllable correct? You see, that's incredible memories they had. So they are asking not only for parrot-like recitation, Vaisutta, but they want that you are realized in this knowledge. Not just some tape recorder, but you have realized the full import of these teachings. Now you convey not only the words but the import to us, you see. So just imagine how Sutta Goswami was able to virtually transport them to that scene on the bank of the holy river, where Shukadev Goswami was enlightening Maharaj Parikshit. The sages were actually transported there by the potency of Sutta Goswami. It was just as if they were there hearing Parikshit. You understand? It is just as if they were there hearing Shukadev enlighten Maharaj Parikshit. That is the power of the pure devotee, the great Acharya, you see. He actually transports his listeners to that wonderful recitation by Shukadev Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit. So, two persons are required, described you. The bona fide speaker must be there, and also the bona fide hearer. Prabhupada gives the example, just like there's a husband and wife. You see. If there's going to be child, the husband must be potent and the wife must be potent. If both the husband and wife are potent when they are a sexual combination, there will be a child. You see. So in the same way, if the speaker is potent and the hearer is potent, then Krishna Bhakti will be born. Out of that discussion, Krishna, that discussion, that presentation of the message of Krishna, that will bear fruit. Love of God will become born in the hearts of the speakers and the hearers both, in such pure recitation of the Bhagavatam. Therefore, we do not care a fig for these impersonalists and professional reciters. We don't waste our time. We want to get only pure devotees, not show bottles. I was visiting one home one time, and the little child, he was watching all mundane cartoons. I felt so bad. The parents were devotees, but they had their child watching, you know, Porky Pig and all this nonsense on the television. But then they put on some Indian devotional movies. I thought, well, now our child is getting the proper education. They told me, this is very good for the child now. But what was it? It was Bollywood actors pretending they were worshiping Krishna. I said, there's no benefit. You're thinking you're benefiting your child by showing all these people offering puja and singing the bhajans. It's just a Bollywood show is all it was. There was no bhakti there. You can't give your child bhakti by showing him movies of Bollywood actors. Bollywood means a bhakti, not bhakti. You see? They're just doing it for money. They're making a show of devotion for some money. So we want actual bhakti. Then we must go to that person who has bhakti, you see, the pure devotee. Because by that contact with the pure devotee, then we will get infected with bhakti. So, the bona fide speaker of the Bhagavatam, just as Sutta Goswami, is connecting his listeners, Shanaka Rishi, and etc., with Shukadev Goswami, the bona fide speaker within our ISKCON movement, you see. The bona fide speaker of Bhagavatam, he must connect his audience with Srila Prabhupada. Especially now, our movement is fortunate. We have many persons still alive on this planet who were witnesses to Prabhupada's pastimes, who were there sitting at his lotus feet hearing the Bhagavatam. You see, there are many. We have many, many. In the future, it will not be like that. In the future, they will all be departed. Those who were personal witnesses to Prabhupada's pastimes. So while they are here, we should take full advantage of such greatly fortunate souls, you see. And we should hear from them so that they can connect us. Because they were, just as Sutta was witness to Shukadev's pastime, Bhagavatam pastime, there are so many wonderful personalities who were personal witnesses to Prabhupada's Bhagavatam, pastimes. Of course, nowadays we have the advantage of videos. You see, they didn't have videos then. So we can all see the videos. But there's a difference between seeing a video and actually being there in Prabhupada's presence. That's a thing. Not the same thing. There's a Shakti that is there in his physical presence. It's not there in the video. Of course, it is there. If one is fully realized, the full Shakti is there even in the video. That's a thing. But because we are not fully realized, therefore, we can take advantage of those who are actually in that physical presence, who are able to get that strong connection. Of course, physical presence is not everything. We see that there are many persons who were here with Prabhupada, but now they are gone. They're not even practicing Krishna consciousness. And we see so many persons who never met Prabhupada, they're very strong devotees. So physical presence is not everything. There are two ways that we can associate with the spiritual master. One is by Vani, and the other is by Vapu. Vani means the instructions, the teachings of the spiritual master. Vapu means his physical presence. So, whenever you can get Vapu, go for it, because it's very helpful. But, in the ultimate issue, Vani is more important. Because Bapu, it may be present, it may not be present. You cannot always get Bapu, the physical presence of your spiritual master. You cannot always get them. But if you can connect with Vani, his vibrational presence, his instruction, you see, then you can always get his presence. I just received a letter this morning, one of my disciples. I said something in one of my email broadcasts about indicating that, you know, I could leave my body someday. And so he got very scared. Oh, that I'm afraid you're winding up your pastimes in this world, Gurudev. I'm really in anxiety. I started crying. But actually, you see, for one who is fully surrendered to the order of his spiritual master, he's never separated from his spiritual master. Prabhupada said, I'm always feeling on my spiritual master's presence, you see. The fact is, if we fully embrace the order of our Guru Maharaj, and he enters into our heart and he lives there, he takes up residence within our heart, and he allows us to reside in his heart, you see. So we simply have to be fully surrendered to his instructions, and then he will enter into our heart and he'll allow us to live in his heart. And this way there's never any separation. It only appears to be separation. That's it. Actually, when we hear about the Vrindavan Leela, it just breaks our heart to think of those poor girls. They gave everything to Krishna, those gopi girls. Even their reputation of being chaste wives, they gave up everything for Krishna, to please Krishna. And just, he appeared to be so ungrateful, he just left them there crying and weeping. So he headed out on another adventure. Someone may say, well, Krishna is so cruel, he has no gratitude for the unconditional love of these sweet, sweet girls. But no, that's none of them. Vrindavanam parityajya napada ekam gacchati. We know that parityajya verb, sarvadharman parityajya, give up all varieties, give up, you see. Parityajya, give up. Sarvadharman parityajya. So, Vrindavanam parityajya. Giving up Vrindavan. Vrindavanam parityajya. Na, not, you see. Pada, foot, ekam, one, gacchati, he goes. So in other words, Krishna doesn't set even one foot outside of Vrindavan. Pada ekam, not even one foot does he step outside of Vrindavan, you see. So his leaving Vrindavan, it is appearance only. It is simply appearance. For what purpose? Shishi Gornitai ki jai, Shishi Radhadamadar ki jai. For what purpose does Krishna appear to leave Vrindavan? Simply to bless those gopi girls with more and more intense loving feelings for him. That's all. Simply to bless them. Why? It is a natural psychology. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. Even in the material world, boy meets girl, they have a romance, they enjoy each other's company, you see. But then the boy has to go away for the summer, you know, they're separated. When they write those love letters, those now love emails to each other, it's more intense than anything they ever said when they were face to face, you see. The intensity of that loving feeling becomes magnified in separation. So Krishna is apparently leaving Vrindavan, externally only. It's actually a great blessing for the gopis. It's their reward for all the wonderful unconditional service. Krishna has rewarded them by his separation, actually. It's a reward. So that they can stoke the fire of love of Krishna 1,000, a million times even more intense within their hearts. And that's what happened. And they went in completely. If the Krishna mania that was there in his presence was nothing compared to the Krishna mania in their hearts after he apparently left Vrindavan. So that's how we always remain connected with our spiritual master, with Srila Prabhupada, with all the great acharyas, you see. Through this vani, taking their instructions is a very, very life and soul. Srila Prabhupada very nicely explains in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Purport. He says, whatever order you receive from your spiritual master, you should always meditate on that order. And he says you should worship that order. Just imagine if you got an order from a letter from your spiritual master and you put it on the wall and every day you offered arti to the letter. That's the feeling of every word that utters from his mouth, you could offer arti to every single word, you see. That is the feeling. You see. This is how one gets the higher taste, you see, by that intense dedication to the words of my spiritual master. As we sing in the Guru Puja just a few minutes ago, my only desire is to have my consciousness purified by the words emanating from his lotus mouth. This eagerness to hear the spiritual master is the most important thing, actually. Most important thing. You may remember from Prabhupada's pastimes, of course, in his former days, he was a Vaicharan day. He was a pharmaceutical businessman in Allahabad. But he had met Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati in Uttadanga, Calcutta, in 1922. And actually, even though he didn't go through the procedures like we do in ISKCON, he immediately took shelter. This is my spiritual master. Immediately he took shelter. Now in ISKCON, you're not allowed to do that. You can hear a guru and you say, wow, I think he's my guru. And then they say, no, that's Maya. You can't think that way. GBC doesn't allow you to do that. You have to wait 6 months before you take some guru in your heart and take shelter of him. But apparently they didn't have that policy in the Gaudiya Mad. Because immediately as soon as he heard Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, as soon as he was defeated actually, he objected first to the ordered instruction of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati that you should preach in the English world, to the English world, this Krishna Bhakti message. Prabhupada, or Vaicharan at that time, he debated with Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. But when he was defeated, he immediately understood, this is my spiritual master. This is my spiritual master. And Prabhupada said, practically he initiated me. Just by that meeting, he felt he was practically already initiated, just by meeting him. You see? But then he was sheltered, what we call sheltered now. But then 11 years, it was 11 years later that he got formal initiation. But he was actually sheltered from that very first meeting. Because he took complete shelter within his heart of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakura. So anyway, for many years, because of business reasons, he transferred to Allahabad. And he wasn't getting any association with Guru Maharaj or the God Brothers. But then one day, they showed up in Allahabad. They came to his pharmacy. We have heard your good name, Abhay Babu, and we would like to ask you to help us establish a temple here in Allahabad. He was just in complete ecstasy. His father, though, although the father was a pure devotee, the father was a little suspicious because he was maybe getting a little old, but he thought they were from the Ramakrishna mission. The father was very skeptical. Who are these, quote, sadhus? But actually, they were the bona fide disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakura. So anyway, sometime later, there was some Vrindavan parikrama. Throughout all of Brajmandal, the devotees were going just like we have now our Brajmandal parikrama. So there was a big, big, in the Gaudiya Math, a big, big, big Brajmandal parikrama. And so every night they would stop in one place, there would be different pravachans going on. So in the evening time, there would be the Pravachan. Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakura would speak. So, of course you know, those who have been to Vrindavan, how many have been to Vrindavan? Yeah. They have a different kind of nightlife in Vrindavan than we have here in Wellington, you see. Instead of bars and strip joints and cinemas, they have darshan, you see. In the evening time, you go here for darshan, you go there for darshan. Darshan time. Temple hopping, you see. Instead of bar hopping, you go temple hopping. So, it was the evening time. And as you may, everyone I think knows, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakura, he spoke in very, very erudite English. The materialistic demeanor cannot possibly stretch to the transcendental autocrat who was ever inviting the fallen conditioned souls. In this way, he would speak in big, big words. Even for native English speakers, if we want to follow what he's talking about, we have to get one of those big unabridged dictionaries and look up every other word. Very big, big, erudite words he's speaking. And most of his disciples, they're simple village boys who hardly know any English anyway. Can you imagine what they did in the evening time when the Prabhupada was going? There was a choice. You go for darshan or you could hear the lecture. Where do you think they went? Darshan. Instead of hearing the lecture, they would go for darshan. Only be a small handful, you know, the leading sannyasis. And there was one householder from Allahabad, one pharmaceutical businessman named Abhay Charan Day. And he was also sitting there. And he said, I would understand or I would not understand. But still, I would go on hearing Guru Maharaj speak. So, just like in ISKCON, when the temple president, you see, he wants to recommend, well, this person is doing very nice, very nicely. I want to recommend them for Diksha, you see. Temple president will recommend. So in the same way, in Gaudiya Math, the devotees in Allahabad, they recommended to Guru Maharaj. Guru Maharaj, there's one very nice pharmaceutical businessman, Abhay Charandi in Allahabad. We'd like to recommend him for Diksha. He said, oh yes, I know him. He hears very nicely. The others go away, but he stays, you see. So simply by hearing, he became recognized by the spiritual master. Just by his very, very attentive hearing. And yes, I will accept him. He got accepted as a disciple just on the basis of his hearing, you see. So if you can simply hear very nicely the spiritual master, you become recognized, you see. You will be recognized just by your very, very attentive hearing, enthusiastic hearing, you see. Utsahan, enthusiasm for hearing. The spiritual master will see. So in this way, Prabhupada said, because I heard nicely, now I can speak nicely. So if you have a desire to be a powerful preacher who can create a revolution on this planet, who can turn world history upside down, all you have to do is hear very nicely, with full keenness of attention, full keenness. And by that hearing, that Shakti which was there, that Shakti is passed down from Krishna to Brahma, to Narada. In this way, that Shakti is coming down to Vyasa, Srila Vyasadeva. The Shakti is coming down. Of course, Lord Chaitanya is there, the six Goswamis, Narottam Das Thakur, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. In this way, Jagannath Das Babaji, Bhaktivinod Thakur, Gaurakishore Das Babaji, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, and our beloved Srila Prabhupada, Divine Grace, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Tri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Ramavan. So that Shakti is coming down now to the present Acharyas, the disciples of Prabhupada. That Shakti is being passed on. And if we can become very, very enthusiastic hearers of this message, then we will also inherit that Shakti. And we can revolutionize this planet, you see. This is the wonderful blessings called the Parampara system. Evam Parampara Praptam Imram Rajarshayo Vidu. Simply take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master. Dedicate your life in his service, accepting his every instruction as your very, very life and soul. And you'll become transcendentalized. You'll become delivered from this material existence. and you will regain your eternal identity as an eternal associate of Krishna and of Lord Chaitanya in the spiritual world. At least some devotees. We know that many, many devotees in the Gaura Ganadesha Vigdipika, they have dual identities. It's like I initiated a disciple the other day in Hamilton, Sudevi. I gave her the name Sudevi, Devi Dasi. She's one of the Ashtashaki Sudevi. And in Lord Chaitanya's Leela, she is Ananta Acharya. She's an eternal associate of Krishna and of Lord Chaitanya. So it's reasonable, because Prabhupada actually says that we have full freedom in the spiritual world. There's no restriction. You can actually be whatever rasa you want to be. Actually, Prabhupada explains that. Well, you can even change rasas, Prabhupada said in one place in the Vedabase. You can actually switch rasas. So there's full freedom in the spiritual world. So you can be in Krishna Leela and Chaitanya Leela simultaneously if you want to be. Shishi Garnitai Ki Jai, Shishi Radhadamadara Ki Jai. Talk about Chaitanya Leela and Krishna Leela. We have both here, Radha Krishna and Garnitai here today. So yeah, we read these great acharyas, Rupa Manjari, Rupa Goswami, same person in different pastimes. So actually we can be in both Leelas simultaneously, if that's our heart's desire. We don't want to miss either Lord Chaitanya's pastimes or Krishna's pastimes. We can experience both of them simultaneously. You could even be in Ram's Leela too, all three, a three-ring circus, if you wanted to be. We have full freedom in the spiritual world. But what's holding us back? Why are we suffering right now in the cycle of birth and death? Lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion and envy. These six enemies are holding us here. They're holding us back, you see. We're stuck here in karma chakra, suffering like anything. Birth, death, old age and disease, lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. Through 8,400,000 different types of hell, you see. We're suffering, 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 suffering. But if we will take advantage of the mercy of the great acharyas, Mahajano Yena Gatasya Pantha, we will take advantage of the great acharyas and we can finish it all up now and get out of this mess once and for all. We simply have to become very serious devotees. That I have one desire and one desire only, and that's to become a pure devotee of Krishna. Forget everything else. It's not important. Ahaitakiya pratiyata yayatma supersediti. Only one desire to become the pure devotee. If we will focus and train our minds to always think that way, the mind keeps, we can tell the mind, okay mind, pure bhakti is it, that's all you can have, nothing else, forget it. And the mind will immediately go jumping back, you know, give me sex, give me women, give me a man, give me this, give me that, give me fame, give me money, you know, the mind is a rascal, keep dancing here, dancing there. Gotta give that mind a good slap, you see, come on. What did Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati say? He said in the morning, take that broomstick. No. Take the shoes and beat your mind 100 times every morning. We have all kinds of shoes out here. You see, grab one of those shoes and just beat your mind 100 times, you see, in the morning. In the evening, let the shoes take a break. Now grab the broomstick out of the broom closet, you see. Now you beat your mind 100 times with a broom before you take breath. Not literally, of course, because the mind is subtle anyway. I mean, obviously, it's not a literal thing. We don't want some brahmachari going upstairs and come down with a bruised skull. We're not saying that. But it means you have to remind yourself that you're a rascal, you know. Puffed up rascal. We have to remind ourselves we're puffed up rascals, you see. We were envious of Krishna. We had the audacity to be envious of Krishna. You see, can you imagine what an idiotic, stupid thing that is, to be envious of Krishna? We were envious of Krishna. Instead of faithfully serving him with love, we got envious. Well, why can't I be in that position? Why can't I be God? You see, we're all guilty of it. We're all guilty of that envy. So we have to always remind, never become puffed up, never become proud, realize, you know, we should really feel ashamed of ourselves for being envious of Krishna. But that doesn't mean you develop a negative attitude and you become, you know, introverted or something, dysfunctional. No. That penitence, that remorse for having and being envious of Krishna, that will heal one and make you spiritually strong, that you can actually act as a powerful agent of the Lord. Just like Hanuman or Arjuna, become very powerful, empowered agent of Krishna by giving up that envy and being a humble servant instead. So anyway, we have a few minutes left. Perhaps there's some questions. Yeah. Your hand went up first.
Do they gain anything from chanting the Lord's names, though they are impersonalists? Because I have read...
Your question is, do people who are doing Hatha Yoga benefit by chanting Hare Krishna?
Not just Hatha Yoga, but they...
Anybody who chants Hare Krishna benefit.
But are they not being offensive if they're impersonalists?
Nowadays it's become a fad, the... In fact, especially in the U.S., there's some very popular bhajan singers who are impersonalists. They have an impersonal philosophy, but they chant... Yeah, I'm well aware of what you're asking about. They become actually superstars, you know, within the yogi circuit. They become superstars. As a fact, they can go to, you know, they can go to some city and fill the hall, you know, for $50 a ticket. They come and have kirtan, yeah. So is there any benefit to their kirtan? Of course, Prabhupada, we know that Prabhupada told us that hearing the chanting from the lips of the impersonalist has poisonous effects, you see. So, it is not very good in one sense. They're not getting Krishna consciousness by chanting Hare Krishna with the Mayavadis. In fact, in Chaitanya Leela, you may know the story of Mukunda Datta. You know that story of Mukunda Datta? He is a Vaishnava, the devotee of Lord Chaitanya, but he liked chanting with the impersonalists also. He was really into singing. So he would go and he would sing with the impersonalists also, chant kirtan with the Mayavadis, you see. Because Mayavadis also do kirtan. Prabhupada explains how the Mayavadis also worship Radha Krishna, you see. They use that as a stepping stone to merge. I know when in the old days, back in the 60s, when many of us, the first devotees, first wave of devotees were joining ISKCON, there was a popular book called Be Here Now. And in this book, it described Bhakti Yoga as a system where in the beginning stage of Bhakti Yoga, there's the worshipper and the worshipable. And when you realize the perfection of bhakti, there's only the worshipable. In other words, you become God through bhakti. So that the Mayavadis had this idea that bhakti is another one of the techniques for merging, becoming God, you see. So anyway, there are many impersonalists who like to chant Hare Krishna. Even during Lord Chaitanya's time, there were such chanters. And Mukundadatta was he loved kirtan, so he would also go and have kirtan with the Mayavadis. So what did Lord Chaitanya do when he heard about this? He said, he is banned from my association. And he was devastated. Oh, I've been banned from Chaitanya's association. Oh, he was just devastated. It's like his life came to an end. And the devotees saw the condition of Mukundadatta. And they went to Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya, please be merciful on him. Please be merciful. Lord Chaitanya said, he will not get my association for 1,000,000 lifetimes. Devotees went, oh, they were totally devastated. They went to Mukunda Dutt and they told him, and Lord Chaitanya said, he will not have his association for 1,000,000 lifetimes. And they thought this would be the end. Mukunda Dutt would probably leave his body now because it was just so heavy, you know. So what did Mukunda Dutt do when he heard that he would not have Lord Chaitanya's association for 1,000,000 lifetimes? He said, 1,000,000 lifetimes! He will see me! He will see me! Haribo! And he danced in ecstasy, jumping in ecstasy. Oh, my Lord will see me again after 1,000,000 births. And Lord Chaitanya said, all right, let him come back immediately. So, it doesn't please Lord Chaitanya, these Mayavadi kirtan. It doesn't please him. Because the mood is not the proper mood. Even though the music may be very nice. Actually, their music is very good. And some of them are very, very good musicians, you see. The music is first class. From music, from professional music, first class, you see. Very, very attractive. Tunes are very nice. We could actually steal their tunes if we wanted to. Use and purify their tunes. Their tunes, some of their tunes are really damn good tunes. I'm a musician myself, from musician background. Very good tunes. So they have everything nice except one thing. They don't have bhakti. They have that envy of Krishna is there, and it comes through in their kirtan. So they're attracting many followers. They're becoming superstars within the yogi circuit. But nobody's becoming a pure devotee. Prabhupada gives the example, there's hundreds of editions of the Bhagavad Gita, but not one of them made a devotee. You see, until Bhagavad Gita as it is was presented, that made thousands of devotees. So such kirtans, they're not making anyone devotees. Do you know anyone who came to Krishna consciousness through those kirtans? With those impersonalists? Does anybody know one person? I mean, I've met people who are on the airplane who say, oh yeah, so-and-so. In fact, his name is, one of the biggest ones is Krishna Das. His name is Krishna Das. Oh, I love Krishna Das. But she wasn't interested to hear from us about Krishna consciousness, you see. Maybe there has been someone who chanted with them and then also came and chant with us as possible. But I don't know of anyone who ever did. Out of the thousands, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people who were buying his CDs and relishing his Hare Krishna kirtan, I don't know one of them has actually become a devotee yet. Maybe if there's one, let me know. But then the question is, well, is there any benefit at all? Because after all, it's the holy name. And Prabhupada did say, yes, there is benefit. There is some benefit. Because after all, it is Krishna's name, even though it's laced with poison. The name is Krishna is there, and it's absolute. Even when a non-devotee chants, just like the story we've heard many times about that Urdu-speaking man, in the Urdu language, the word haram means condemned. And for the Muslim, he was a Muslim, we're just speaking that. For the Muslim, the pig, the hog, it is condemned food. So he was in the forest, he was attacked by a wild boar. He was being killed by a wild boar. But according to his religion, this is condemned animal. So as he was dying, he said, haram. But the last syllable he uttered as he left his body was Ram, and he went back to Godhead. So I don't advise that. If you want to go back to God, I don't advise you follow that pathway. Go to the forest and look for a wild boar and chant Haram one time as you're being killed with a wild boar. I don't recommend that as a means of going back to Godhead. It did happen in his case, but it's not the recommended pathway, you see, for going back to Godhead. But anyway, The point is, there is potency in the holy name. Even if the Mayavadis are chanting it, there is some value. And hopefully they will, if they keep chanting Hare Krishna enough, they'll decide to join our movement. That's what we're hoping. But so it hasn't happened yet. I haven't heard of one of them who's done it yet. So the answer is, it's mostly poison, and there's some teeny, itsy-bitsy, teeny-weeny little bit of benefit there in their chanting. So I went to one temple. They were selling his CD in the gift store. I said, get this out of here. This is not good. We shouldn't, devotees shouldn't, if you want to listen to it to steal his melody, that's okay. But as far as for purification, I mean, you know, we have enough good kirtan singers in ISKCON, you know, listen to their CDs. Aindra, so many nice kirtans we can hear. Of course, Prabhupada's are the ultimate. We can hear so many nice kirtans. We shouldn't listen to those CDs. We shouldn't sell them in our gift stores. It's insane to do that. Sell Mayavadi kirtans in our gift shops to make a few bucks. Who needs the money? Krishna will give us all the money we need if we're just pure. That's all we have to do is be pure. So does that answer your question? Okay, very good. Any other questions? You had a question. Oh, what do you do to defeat it? Yeah. Association with devotees is the best way to defeat pride and envy. Learn how to love the Vaishnavas. Learn how to appreciate the devotees. That's actually essential, Mataji. Because Krishna says, Ye me bhakta jana parata, na me bhaktas chate janaha, mad bhaktanam chiye bhaktas, te me bhakta tamamata. Krishna says, if you're my devotee, you're not my devotee. But if you're the devotee of my devotee, then you're my devotee. This is stated in the Adi Purana, he's speaking to Arjuna. So, if you want to be a devotee of Krishna, you must become the devotee of the devotees of Krishna. So, can you be devoted to devotees? If you're proud and envious, you will not be able to. If you're proud, you won't want to devote yourself to anybody. They should devote to me. Why are they not devoted to me? You see? So Lord Chaitanya, he advises how to become devoted to the devotees in the Shikshastakam prayers. He says that you should offer all respect to others without expecting even a slight tinge of respect for yourself. You see, that is the move. So you make that your practice. You may say, but Prabhu, that's artificial. I don't feel like doing that. It's not really me. Unless they respect me, I can't respect them. You see, you may feel it's totally artificial. But in this regard, kindly note this example from ISKCON Lila, that my godbrother, Gargamuni Prabhu, when he first joined this movement, he's one of those lucky souls. I'm actually transcendentally envious of him, by the way. He joined at 26 Second Avenue. I was a few miles away in New York at the time. I can't believe I didn't. But anyway, it took me a few years before I got my senses and surrendered to Prabhupada's lotus feet. But he was there at 26 Second Avenue with Prabhupada, back in the old days when it was Swamiji instead of Prabhupada. So Swamiji would come down from his apartment on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday evenings to give the evening lecture. And when Swamiji entered the temple room, everybody would bow down, except for Gargamuni, because it didn't feel natural. I'm a natural man. So, but he felt a little uneasy because he was the only one who wasn't bowing down. So One evening he raised his hand and says, Swamiji, when you enter the room, everyone bows down, but I don't bow down because it doesn't feel natural. Is that all right, Swamiji? Prabhupada said, no, you must bow down. Because by bowing down, then the feeling to bow down will come. So, maybe you're full of pride and envy. I don't know. You seem pretty sincere to me, but maybe your heart is filled up with pride and envy, you see. So, you should act in a very non-envious and a humble way, even if it's not you. Just imagine you're an actress in a movie, and you say, okay, now your role is to be a very humble, non-envious person. In this drama, you're to play this role of being humble and non-envious. You have to do that for the, you know, for the movie. So you play the role, you act as if you're, act with all the devotees as if you were a humble, non-envious person. And guess what? Because actually within, all of us have the pride and envy. I'm not really picking on you, but you ask the question, so you get the mercy. Beneath all of your pride and all of your envy, you see, there is a pure, non-envious, humble self sitting within, you see. Your pride and your envy is just a covering of your true, non-envious, humble self. So if you will act even, quote, artificially, unquote, as a humble, non-envious Vaishnavi, you see, then your true, non-envious, humble qualities will come out in all of that pride and that envy, which is simply an artificial covering, will be melted away, you see. So that's the key. Just act with the devotees, all the devotees, not just your spiritual master, a few devotees, but act with all the devotees in a non-envious, humble way, and then you'll realize, wow, this is amazing. I'm actually feeling love for the devotees. I never felt this wonderful in my life. I'm feeling more and more love and appreciation for all the devotees, you see. So in this way you can conquer it, Manaji. I guarantee you, if you follow these instructions, you will get the result. It works. I absolutely guarantee it works. If it doesn't work, I'll give you $10,000 cash. You're not going to lose, you see. You either become a non-envious, humble Vaishnavi, or you become $10,000 richer. You can't lose. Any other question? Yes.
What does a devotee actually mean? I mean, does it mean that someone who's initiated is...
No. It's supposed to mean that, but we have some people who take initiation who turn out to not really be devotees because they don't stick to their vows, you see. Devotee means someone who's devoted. Someone whose heart is fully dedicated to Guru and Krishna. That person is a devotee. Even if they're not initiated yet, of course they soon will be. Because, you know, they'll be recognized by their temple authority. This person is a genuine devotee, so I would recommend him for initiation. So devotee is just like the name means. Someone who's devoted. That is devotee. Simply wearing tilak on the nose and kanti mala around the neck. You know that bhajan by Bhaktivinoda Thakur? You know that bhajan? A little funny, actually. Bhaktivinoda said, here comes another disciple of Kali. He has tilak on the nose and kanti on the neck, but he's keeping so many women for illicit sex. So that is not devotee. You know he is dressing as devotee, you see. He's dressing as a devotee, but he's keeping women for illicit sex life, you see. So, it is not that by wearing tilak or neck beads or even by getting diksha, you see, if one is keeping women for illicit sex, they are not devotee. Devotee means he loves Krishna. He loves to serve Krishna. He has no interest in material sense gratification. That is devotee. He has that higher taste for bhakti. You can't attract him with kama, with sense gratification, with lust. He has no interest in profit, adoration, distinction, wealth, women or followers. Not interested in them. He just wants to, that his heart will become more and more in love with Krishna. More and more in love with Guru and more in love with the Vaishnavas. That is devotee. Any other question?
I will add one of my that question raised by Jaya.
Do you have a question?
No. Devotee is the short form of devotion to duty. That is called devotee. That's what I'm
saying. Devotee means?
Devotion to duty is called short form of.
But it depends. That may or may not be true, though, Prabhu, depending on what duty you're talking about. Someone may say, "Oh, I'm a butcher. I have a duty to go every day and kill the cow." That's not bhakti.
See, we have the assigned duties.
If you take the proper duty,
yeah, proper duty,
then it is devotee. Yeah. Krishna says you only have one duty, sarvadharman parityaja. You see, yeah. If you take that as duty, this that is devotee. But you take these so-called duties, you see, and that is not devotee. If they take that one duty, yes, then they are devotee. But otherwise, no, because there are so many duties. People think they have this duty, that duty, 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 duty. But these are not devotees. I cannot surrender to Krishna because I have a duty to my wife and kids. They don't want me to be a devotee, so I have to serve them. That is not devotee, you see. They're doing their duty to the wife and children. They don't want the father to become a devotee. No. He says, "All right, I've served you long enough. Now it's Bhagavan's turn." You see, now I will serve Bhagavan, and so that is actual devotee. You see. Yeah. Anything else? Everyone satisfied now, ready for pure bhakti. They give up all type of sense enjoyment and become fully surrendered to Guru and Krishna. Everyone's fully prepared now, enthusiastic to do that. Yes?
What about when someone goes to the extreme and, mm-hmm. I take your point that we should be duty bound to Guru and Krishna. Mm-hmm. But what if they neglect their family in the process?
This should be consulted with their spiritual master. Because what the spiritual master will generally do will say, you remain with your wife and your children and make them devotee. Sometimes I get many people writing me, they say, well, I would like to give up my family connections and just move into a temple. You know, I get many people writing me like that. I say, no. You want to surrender to Krishna, here's my instruction. You know, this is what you do. You remain with your family and make them Krishna conscious. In extreme cases, though, when the spiritual master may advise them to leave, if it's extreme, depending on the circumstance. But the ideal, the normal thing is you stay with your family life and make them devotees. Because in that way, our movement will spread. You see, sometimes it's amazing. We saw that in Dallas. One householder couple joined our community there. Actually, it was three householder couples. They came as a group, but one of the six of them was really against it. She was just dragged along, you know, unwillingly dragged along. They used to call her Wanda the Witch because she was so negative, you know, against Krishna. But later on, Wanda the Witch became Nanda Priya Devi Dasi, and she became more Krishna conscious than her husband, actually. She became a very great devotee. And her husband was kind of like halfway, you know, Kanishta Adhikari, dragging along with his material desires now. But his wife became a very, very advanced devotee. So it's amazing, you know, what happens. So we encourage devotees, stay with your wife, stay with your kids. Try to bring them to Krishna consciousness. You know, it may end up that your wife becomes more advanced than you, and she takes you back to Godhead. You know, the you thought, well, she'll never become a devotee, so let me just give her up. You know, get a divorce. No, we encourage devotees to stay with their families and make them Krishna conscious, but not that you compromise your own practice. That I don't recommend having illicit sex with your wife because she wants it. No, you have to. She has to go without it because you're giving it up. I think that's going too far. Well, I have to give my wife all this success because she really wants it and it's my duty. I don't buy that. train her that there's a higher taste. Stay with your wife, but train her, teach her how there's a wonderful taste far beyond the solicit sex. The holy name of Krishna, the association of Vaishnavas, in this way. Stay with the family life, but don't give up the principles in the name of family duty. That's how I advise people. They may say I'm a fanatic, but I don't think so. I don't think I'm a fanatic. This is my understanding of what Prabhupada wants. Many even initiated devotees argue, well, you know, if I don't give my wife illicit sex, we'll have a divorce. It's bogus, as far as I'm concerned, bloody bogus. They don't have that higher taste must be there. Nava nava rasa, as Jamunacharya said. Once you actually get a taste for Krishna consciousness, who wants to come down to the gross bodily platform? So we should remain with our families and with our husband or our wife if we're married, and make them Krishna conscious. Be patient with them. Be very kind to them. Be very affectionate to them. But don't indulge in nonsense with them. That's my advice.
Thank you.
They'll thank you. In the end, they'll thank you that you dragged me out of my material quagmire and you brought me into Krishna consciousness. I'm eternally indebted to you, my dear wife or my dear husband, for doing this for me. They will be very thankful and appreciative in the end. So anything else? Alright then. We will stop here. Gantarad Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.